Well, last week I preached about living a life worthy of your calling and how we should live that life. I mean, we should. And this week, I don't know, God just keeps putting it on me to stay on track with this making an effort in our walk with Christ. And I mean, that's just been on my heart, on my mind. I hear people talk all the time about, well, you know, when you get saved, it's like you don't have to do anything else. It's done for you. You know, there's no, you know, you're saved. All you have to do is believe and everything's okay. Well, I mean, that's confusing to me because the Word doesn't really say that. The Word says great. I mean, we're saved. We're saved by grace. And yes, that's true. We are saved by grace. But there is an effort in our walk with Christ. There is a cross that we carry. There is that walk that we have. And that is something that we make an effort in doing. And being a Christian is not always an easy life, but being a sinner is not an easy life either. Come on now. Life in general, as we live on this earth, is not always easy. And being a Christian is easy if we're living the way we should. Okay? Because God gives us the ability to do it. Because we can't do it without Him. We can't do it without Him. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's our scripture focus for this morning. I can't even speak. 2 Peter chapter 1. There we go. And it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Man, isn't that something? Think, a precious thing. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His every great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, just let us learn from it this morning, Lord. Lord, I do pray. Lord, I ask that you clear my mind, Lord, but let only your thoughts come into my mind. Lord, open up my heart. Let your Holy Spirit be in complete control this morning. Let nothing hinder your word from being spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So first of all, he says his divine power. Let's look at verse 3. It says his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He says that His divine power, and that's what we have to understand, it's not our power, it's not anybody else's power, it's His divine power that gives us strength to live a godly life. We can't do that without Him in our life. We can't do that without the divine power being present in your life. You can't live that godly life like you should, because the desires of this world will overtake you without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's what He says. He says, the divine power which brings goodness, owning God is good all the time, right? We say that. But that goodness only comes from Him. It is produced out of us from Him. You get what I'm saying? We cannot be good without Him. We cannot be, because He produces that. He says He's called us His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us every great and precious promise. He has given us so many promises. He has promised, and I've got some here. It blacked out on me. Hang on here. We go here. We got lots of promises in the Scripture. We got lots of promises, and we even sing songs about promises, standing on the promises of God. We've sang that song many, many times. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. That means something to the writer. He's thinking about this Scripture right here. Or in many others like this. He's thinking about the promises of God that we can stand on. And and one of the promises is 2 Peter 1:4, which is just a scripture that I'm using this morning. And it says, because of His glory and excellence, He has given us a great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His nature. And that's the NLT translation. He uses the word enable. And now that word enable means He is the source. He is the one that allows us to do that. And I was thinking about, you know, the sign. We put the new sign in, and the first three nights it lit the community up at night. People drove by here and you had to have blinders on because it was so bright. And the reason is we had installed a sensor on the sign. And that sensor is when it gets light outside, it brightens up the sign. When it gets dark outside, it brings the light down. It's a light sensor. Well, that light sensor wasn't working. It was hooked up. It was hooked up. It was on the sign. It was plugged in. Part of the sign. But it wasn't enabled. So Verna had to go into the computer program and she had to enable it. She had to make it work. You know what I'm saying? She had to put something in there. And when that's what Jesus does with us. So He has to enable us. Okay? So we can be part of it. We can be hooked up to it. But unless the Holy Spirit enables you to do it, you're not going to be successful in living a godly life. You get what I'm saying this morning? So sometimes we have to be enabled. And the one that does that is Jesus Christ. And so He is the one that has given us all these precious promises, and I love that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." He has plans for you, says the Lord, "and they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future of hope." See, a promise, that's a promise that He's given us. We have a future of hope, not of destruction. Not of, you know, He wants good for us, is what He wants. In Matthew 11:28-29, He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He has promised us rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And that's that knowledge. He's the goodness and knowledge. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." And so that's another promise that we have. We can find rest in Him when we're following Him. So Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives us power." Wow. Whoa, I like that, right? He says he not only he gives us hope, he gives us rest, and here we find he gives us power to the weak and to strengthen to the and strength to the powerless. He says even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings of like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. He gives us power and strength. You know, in those times where we feel spiritually drained, we don't feel like we can do it anymore. Things are not going the way we think they ought to go, and we're spiritually drained. We've been just pulled from every direction. All of us have been there, and it's not always physical. We do get physically tired, but sometimes we get spiritually tired too because we're getting drained and pulled and from every direction. And he says, I will give you strength. I will give you power to go on. I give you the hope, and that's a promise that God gives us. That's a promise that he gives us. Let's see. Next one is Philippians 4:19. He says, "And this same God who takes care of me, amen, will supply all your needs from his great glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Romans 8:37, 39 says, "Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ." He gives us victory. Victory over what? Victory over temptations. Victory over sin. He gives us victory. Amen? Victory in Jesus. They write songs about it. We sing songs about that. Does it mean something to you when you sing? Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere He knew me. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me into victory. Amen? That means something. It meant something to the writer, and it means something to me, because when I sing that song, I understand there is victory in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He goes on to say that no power in the sky, now this is still in Romans 8:37-39, he says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. That's something else. He says, if you stay in me, if you rest in me, if you believe and keep my commands, and you, if you, what? Seek me. You know, you get what I'm saying? You make an effort to walk in my ways and keep my commands. Nothing can separate you from me. Come on, that's something to shout about, right? He says, I got you. Nothing can separate you from me. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind. Man, how many times have you wanted peace of mind? Have you wanted peace in your life? Man, I hope that there's no one here this morning that doesn't have peace of mind of where they're going if they pass away today. I've got peace of mind. I've got peace in my heart. I know where I'm going because I stand on the promises that God has given me. I believe in His Word. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, He gives us, that's another promise. He gives us, He promises eternal life. He promises a place in heaven. He said, I go build a place for you. I'm going to build a mansion for you. I'm going to build this place where you can come and you can live and there's no more sorrow and there's no more pain and there's no more heartache and there's none of this sickness. Come on. That's something to, that's a promise that he gave us. I'm going to go back to Scripture now. He says, through these things he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, through these promises that we just talked about, through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Because of these promises, because of the effort that you make and keeping his commands, because of that, you can escape the corruption of this world and the desires of this world. That's how we can say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free indeed, I'm free. I don't have those desires anymore to do those things I used to do. Why? Because I stand on the promises. I believe in what he told me. I believe in his word. I believe in his power. He says, for this reason, verse 5, he said, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. Now, this goodness, what does it mean to be good? To add to your faith, to be good. Now, he said, make an effort. There's more to it than just saying it. There's more to it than just saying it. Come on now. He says, make an effort. Make an effort. Take up your cross every day. I have to get up every day and make a decision whether I'm going to follow him today or not. That's an effort I have to make. I have to make an effort whether to watch that show or not. Huh? Come on. I have to make an effort. It's a decision. This world today says, oh, don't worry about it. It's not so bad. You've heard all that stuff before. Yeah, I have. But I don't need to hear it any longer because it's not productive. It doesn't lead to godliness. It doesn't lead to goodness. And it's not a good witness. Come on now. I don't do the things I used to do. Not because I can't. Because I make every effort. Because I know the source of the power, and I know what he did for me. And I love him for that. And that's the reason I make every effort, and I hope that you do too. This goodness, goodness, by definition, I love this definition of goodness. Jesus said, there's only one good, and that's my Father in heaven. When the guy asked him, he said, hey, good master. Goodness is the quality of being morally good or virtuous. Does that describe every one of us, right? Every day, man, we're just morally, we're the quality of being morally good and virtuous. That's us, right? Is that mankind? We're only good because our Father in heaven is good. And when we're living the way we should live, when we're keeping His commands and we're making every effort to do that, when we're walking in His grace, when we're walking in His light, that's when we can say that we're living a good life. Only way we can say that. There was one other explanation here I wanted to give. Oh yeah, it's a beneficial or nourishing element of food. I like that definition. He's like, well, how's that go with this? Can you make the connection? We thirst and hunger for righteousness. That's exactly right. Yeah. It is a beneficial and nourishing element of food, and that goodness only comes from Him. Amen. It is beneficial and it's nourishing to us. I love it. You know, Scripture just comes together so much. He says, with this goodness, with this nourishing, with this nourishment, beneficial, this goodness, there's knowledge, this knowing. That knowledge only comes from one source. And the knowledge And to knowledge, it says self-control. Wow, that's a tough one. I think that's probably one of the toughest ones that most of us have. We got to control ourselves. That's another thing that you have to make an effort at. I have a choice to make at times. I can not be in control or I can be in control. All right? So I have to say, well, God is in control, because without Him being in control, I cannot control myself. Amen? Because I want to fall back on my selfish, sinful desires. I want to go back to the way sinful man is, because without God, that's who we are. So self-control is another thing that God gives us when we make an effort to follow Him. And it says, why? Because it's His divine power that has given us everything we need for a godly life. Back in verse 3. It's the only way. But He says you have to make an effort at it. Right? So we have to get up every day. And we have to pick up our cross and we have to make that decision. Every day. He said, with that, and to self-control comes perseverance. We have to persevere through all these things. That's another thing that takes effort. You see what I'm getting at this morning? Am I just rambling on here? Am I making sense? Some of you are like, land the plane. No? All right. I got so much oil, I can't hardly hold my Bible. It says, in this perseverance, into perseverance, godliness. You know, when we persevere, when He sees us making this effort, when we made this effort to seek goodness, when we made this effort to seek the knowledge, when we made this effort to self-control, and we persevere through these things spiritually, when we do all these things, then we live a life of godliness. That's what brings godliness in our life. Come on, that's what the Word says. And to godliness, mutual affection. What's this mutual affection? It's when I can love my neighbor like Jesus loves me. Amen. When I can love my neighbor like Jesus loves my neighbor. Regardless of who my neighbor is or what they're like. When we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Huh? He says, love your neighbor. That takes effort sometimes, doesn't it? I'm telling you, we've had those neighbors. It takes effort sometimes to love them. But He says, I'll give you the power and the strength to do that. I'll give you the divine power. And I'm telling you, there's some people that are our neighbors that it takes divine power to love them. Amen? Come on now, I'm being real. He says, for if you possess these qualities in your increasing. Now, that's another word, increasing. That's another word that means going forward, right? More. More and more abundantly, words after scripture says, I want you to be more and more. I want you to be abundant. I want you to be this. That's effort. That's moving forward. What? Moving forward to what? Living a holy life. Paul says, I strive for perfection. Strive. What's that? That's moving forward. That's wanting. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It just means that that's what we're looking for. That's our goal. That's what we're moving towards. That's what our desire is. And He says, I'll give you the power to do it. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you, now listen, from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think so many times when I read that, I think, is that why sometimes our prayers are not heard? Is that why they're not answered sometimes? It's because we're not making an effort like we should to increase our faith to goodness and godliness, self-controlled lives. Think about that. So Peter's saying, if you're living, if you possess these qualities, then who's he talking to? Peter's talking to the church. He's not talking to unsaved individuals. He's talking to people that are plugged in, saved, going to church, showing up at the gatherings, wherever that it was then. He says, they will keep you. These qualities will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them, now here's the warning, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Man, how can you forget that? How can you forget the day that Jesus exploded into your life? That's the only word that I can use. And you realized you had been forgiven of all the sins that you committed. You'd been washed clean and cleansed. Man, how can you forget that? Amen. Therefore, he says, now verse 10, I love this. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Amen. You'll never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the words of Peter. He's saying, man, make every effort to live this life like this. Make every effort to live this life, because he says, if you do, you keep my commands. That's what Jesus said. You keep my commands, and if you keep my commands, I've got all these promises I'm going to give. I promise you that I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to promise you eternal life in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I promise that nobody will ever take you away from me. I'll fight your battles for you. How's that? I promise that. I'll fight your battles for you. I'll heal your sick. That's one of the promises that he gave. Come on.
Amen.
I'm not making this stuff up. It's right here. I mean, you either believe it or you don't. Come on. I believe it.
Amen.
Where you go, I'll go with you. I'll go with you into the highways and byways. I'll go with you to Walmart. Yeah. Wherever you go, I'll go with you. That's awesome, ain't it? That's promises that he's given us. I mean, there's no telling how many promises there are in the Bible. Hundreds of promises. I may have to research that. I know I found 100, but I wasn't going to read them all. Are you living? Are you making an effort? That's what I want to leave you with this morning. Are you making an effort in your life? Are you making an effort in your life? Don't let Satan fool you. Don't let him tell you that, oh, you don't have to do anything. Don't worry about it. Scripture says, and I'm trying to think which one it is, it says that idleness, stay away from those that are idle. It's what Paul says. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. He says, stay away from those that are idle. Why? because they're not making an effort to live their life. They're not making an effort. And when they don't make an effort, if you spend too much time with them, they're going to bring you into that idleness too. Come on. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I hope I spoke it the way you wanted me to, Lord. I stand here as your servant. Lord, let us leave here today with an overwhelming joy in our heart, Lord. Let us make every effort every day to serve you greater so that, Lord, we can be called good and faithful servant. Lord, on that day, Lord, I just can't wait to see you face to face, Lord. Lord, I just ask for your divine power to fill the hearts of these people here this morning so that they may be strengthened and have the knowledge of your promises, Lord, and be enabled to live godly lives. Lord, let us live our life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.